All right. I'll count it down. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
3, 2, 1.
Sports fans and collectors nationwide and abroad, it's time to get hype.
Come on.
About the hobby we are all a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hype. Be hype. This is The Hype.
What's going down, everybody? MojoBreak.com in the building, episode number 68 of Mojo Break, The Hype podcast, coming at you. And today's show is going to be all about Prism. 18-19 Prism NBA dropped today, the hottest, biggest release of the year for basketball. Silver rookies are what everybody wants, and that's what we're chasing today. So we're going to go into why people collect silver prisms. I've got an interesting theory that I dug up yesterday. I got a pretty interesting theory. We'll hear your thoughts on that. We've got Prism Breaks all day today, mojobreak.com. You can use a special code to save 18% on pick your team style breaks of Prism. It won't work on randoms, but any of those teams coming up in 4, 5, 6 tonight, you can use that code SILVERS, and that is going to save you 18% off. So load up and save big. And we also have lots of Black Friday stuff, and it's all the Black Friday breaks are almost sold out. So I would check the site and get in on that. There's a lot of Panini Black Friday pack breaks going down on Black Friday and huge savings. Wife's out shopping or significant other's out shopping, you stay at home, shop on Amazon like I do, buying the breaks seems like a simple plan for Friday. Dan, what are you doing Black Friday? Well, that's right, you're going to be here.
Yeah, I'm going to be here.
You're going to be here?
I'm going to be here.
Are you going to sleep here?
Maybe. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here bright and early, you know, doing them Black Friday breaks. Won't be going out doing shopping. Won't do that.
No.
And I'm going to wait. You see, I'm old school. I'm going to wait until a couple days before Christmas and go out, physically do my shopping in the chaos and the war zone. You know, brick and mortar, man. You got to give back the old, you know, face-to-face commerce.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah, you mean it's going to take you 4 hours to take what usually what it takes me like 10 minutes.
There's a
what
reason,
you're saying.
There's a reason why I really dislike the holidays.
Well, you
I got to keep that streak going. So I can't have a non-stressful holiday. So, yeah, I'm going to go out and do exactly what I do every year. I say every year I'm not going to do it when I'm in the middle of the chaos. But, no, I'm going to do it.
Nice. C-Rat, are you going to get some early morning Friday shopping in?
With this weather, with the air quality, and everything else, I don't think so.
Yeah, stay home. I don't even think you save much compared to standing in that line of just going on Amazon or buying from any of those companies' websites. It's the same thing. I think some people just like are gluttons for punishment. They like running into people. They like standing in long lines. They like ripping hot pots out of people's hands.
I think they just enjoy face-to-face, like money, hand.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but you're not going to go in the mess on Friday. You're going to wait until, like you said, the 23rd and go shopping.
Yeah.
You know, but the people
you just don't get the good deals.
But the people that go out and wait 4 hours to get like $50 off a TV.
Well, shit's crazy.
I know. It just doesn't seem like it's worth it.
That's nuts. I can't do it. I don't have the strength.
What do you guys want? This is an interesting question. Hobby related here. What do you want for Christmas? If you could get any box of cards, any single card for Christmas, what would it be? Think about that. It's about that time. And with blow, you know, with deals going on all throughout the hobby, it'd be a perfect time to tell that person that's looking to buy you a gift. hey, buy this box of Prism 1819 for me, or get into this break at mojobreak.com for me.
Sean Mannion.
Sean Mannion.
Shield RPA out of NT. It's up on the bay. It's just the person wants like $3,000 for it.
Yep, yep. So I wanted to pose a question to you guys. You can kind of debate in the chat, or you can throw us messages on Twitter at mojobreak_com. Prism. Why is Prism popular? Why do cards that don't have autos on them sell? And they're not numbered. Let's not forget that. Why do they outsell autographs? Why does this happen? When we all are watching breaks and we're getting in breaks and we're seeing that like hits sell, like hits meaning autographs and whatnot, why is a colored parallel selling so well? So why isn't like Hoops NBA? Hoops NBA has been around longer than any of them. Why isn't that the OG? Why is Prism number one? So I thought long and hard about this myself. So I did some digging, and I think the sole reason that we are all crazy, besides everything is shiny, is 1996-1997 was the first year for Topps Chrome Basketball. Before then, they had Finest. So Finest was the shiny, newfangled thing. But 1996 and 1997, the 1996 draft had Kobe, Iverson, Ray Allen, Steve Nash, Stephon Marbury. It was just an absolute perfect time for a product that had refractor parallels. So that's what they called them. So these are chrome, and a chrome refractor parallels are what's equivalent to nowadays, which is silver prism. And Kobe, I don't know if Kobe didn't come out and bring in that international market that's raising the prices of all those cards. I don't know if we would have prism these days. I honestly don't. If that was a horrible draft class, if Topps decided to drop Chrome in a down year, I don't know if we'd be chasing Prism today. So it's interesting how that works. So no Kobe, no Iverson. I mean, that's probably the best draft class since 03-04, you know, or 03-04 came out. It was, you know, a good draft class as well. But I think this is why we're breaking Prism. What do you think? What do you guys think?
I think it's the closest thing to Chrome. Was that's basically what you just said, right?
What I'm saying is this is what got shiny and refractors.
Because of the rookie year. I get what you're saying, but I think we've already talked about that. We've already said that the reason why Prism is the go-to collectible rookie is because it's the closest thing that we have to Chrome.
Right.
I mean, let's face it.
But we didn't really talk about in specifics on the first year of basketball Chrome was the Kobe. That was the first year. So they really couldn't have picked a better year to come out with Chrome and to come out with Chrome refractors than 96-97, because you had one of the greatest of all time and probably the most revered basketball player besides Jordan in this hobby in Kobe Bryant.
It was meant to be.
You know, I mean, the following years, I believe the next year after that was Tim Duncan, and then there was like Dirk Nowitzki. But it was like drafts that had one guy. The fact that they had AI, which just was lighting people up in the, you know, and one mixtape days, and you have Iverson doing the and one mixtape stuff on the court with the crossover, with the swagger, with the long shorts. And then you have young Kobe at a high school, you know, going to senior prom with Brandy, coming in on the Lakers, lighting it up, you know, having so much promise. And I think that's what kind of changed the scope to where we're at today and why we are paying big money for these silver prisms. So I broke it down in numbers. So I was interested to see how many refractors from 96-97 of Kobe were graded compared to fast forward to Jason Tatum, right? So I broke it down between PSA and BGS, and Kobe refractors, there was 270 Kobe's graded BGS refractors, not base. There was like 1,000 base cards because it was, you know, chrome base, and like a little over 300 at PSA. So you have 670 graded refractors of Kobe that are out there currently that are in people's collections more likely. And Jason Tatum's 885 silvers graded from BGS and 487 graded by PSA. So it's 1,300. So that's the only thing that I'm posing the question to you guys in the chat and to Dan and C-Rad. So that's more than double the amount.
When last year Prism, right? I think we were doing the show, right? We're over a year, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. So we were doing the show, and I think we were talking about a rough number of how many prisms, silvers,
yeah,
per rookie were produced. And I think we were throwing around a number of 1,500.
I remember that, yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, by Doug's numbers, we way undershot that.
Yeah, because that's only graded. Because
you just said 1,200 and something that were graded.
1,300 Tatums that are graded. Silvers.
1,300 Tatums that were graded. So it's safe to say that there was 3,000 of them.
So you're saying, no, probably 2,000.
No, 3,000. You're saying, you got to figure there's probably still some cases out there that are not opened, right?
True.
People are holding on to them, mm-hmm. right?
And it's a large portion of people that never got them graded either.
And there's a lot of people who didn't get them graded.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
So 5,000 silvers.
Yeah.
What are we doing over here?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do we have to be concerned?
I'm concerned.
About overproduction of this, right?
Yeah.
yeah. But what's crazy to me, and rightfully so, Doncic's are coming out at 500 or 600 raw, which is crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, but it's crazy. but that's a good thing, because if you pull it, that's a payday, right?
Right.
But you know, can that sustain? Because Tatum's graded prices aren't even at 600. So
we got to pump the brakes, man. Pump the brakes.
And we don't know if they made more this year than they did last year. Hey, I'm not dogging the product, because it still is the staple. There's nothing that's going to come out that's like it. You know, so they're still going to hold their value on these superstars. But at a certain point, are you going to have more sellers than buyers?
In the short term, there's no question that if you pull one of the top rookies, you're going to get a pretty substantial payday. No doubt. Right. Right. But let's think about this in 10 to 15 years. One, these players that we're all collecting and going crazy over, they have to be Hall of Fame
caliber
players,
yeah.
Right? Not all the rookies last year that everybody's collecting, Tatum, Mitchell, Fultz, well, who knows if he even plays again. This year, Doncic, Trae Young, Ayton, are these guys Hall of Famers? Because the market is looking like they are, or people are kind of assuming that they're going to be.
Right. Well, that's
some of these players may not even be the best player on their team.
Well, I mean, if you're a Bowman collector, you're listening to the show, this is the Prizm Silvers is the comparable to the Bowman first Bowman auto, right? So people are paying for hype. People pay more early than what they usually wind up selling for, because they think You're buying it's an investment. If you're a Doncic fan, you're buying at 600 because you think ultimately it's a $3,000 or $4,000 card, right? At the end, maybe 5 years from now. But what I'm questioning here, and something to be concerned about, is how much they are making of this.
Issue is why didn't Panini do this? Why they did it with football? Why not do it with basketball? I mean, shit, man, they can make more product that way.
Well, they could.
You just make it. You make it so it's a lot. You get one silver a box.
Well, you get about one. Well, no, we were getting two or three. But I mean, it.
Dude, I was getting like three rookies a box.
Right. But isn't that crazy to you though, too? If you want to compare it to football, Baker Mayfields are going for $200, and they're probably 10 times more rare than this, right? I mean, maybe 100 times more rare.
Mm-hmm.
So why? I mean, we know why. We know it's the international market. We know that the silver prisms are the gold, or is what people want. But that's just crazy. Based on scarcity, the football should be crazy, right? But they're not. So we wanted to look into some early eBay data. Now, the product just came out, but we have had some first off the line that's been marinating for about a couple days. So we do have some completed auctions. We're going to take a look at some of that on eBay and see, you know, and discuss. See what these guys are going for. I've seen Doncic silvers, $500-$600. C-Rab was saying Doncic Mojos.
It's ending in an hour. It's over $2,000. Right.
Yeah, but at least that one's stamped. There's only 25 of them.
At least you know that, right?
I'm talking about the silvers, man. Like, they may have made maybe 5,000 Doncic silvers.
Could be. Is that a good number?
That's that could be a number. That could be a number.
But I mean, as long as the market can support it, I mean, the one good thing about basketball is it's worldwide. So you've got guys all over the country that are buying these. So maybe it's not enough. Maybe it's not enough. I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see later on the line, once this stuff is all ripped and then people are trying to sell then. We'll see if it's so you got some Aiton stuff. Hyper. So a hyper Aiton selling for 51.
Yeah.
So Aiton 249, buy it now. That seems kind of low. So Doncic looks like he's double everybody else then, right?
Yep.
600. Hyper selling for almost 300. These are silver, obviously ungraded cards, guys. Doncic is clocking in around 500 or 600 at this point.
I'll sell one right now for $500.
Dan has one.
I have one. $500 right now.
PayPal. No. PayPal. No, Venmo. Bitcoin.
$500. I'm gonna give everybody a deal. Put it up on eBay for $7,000. Who knows? Maybe $5,000. One for every print run.
Right.
$1 for every print run.
$1 for every print run. Shai Gilgeous at $100 on a silver, you know, $99, $100 all day. And, you know, these are cards that you could potentially grade. And that's telling me that Jaren Jackson and these guys that are on $100, you get them graded, they're about 150 probably. 150, 160. So
quad double's already packed out. Can't add any more cards to it.
I know, right? Maybe next year's.
Maybe.
Wendell Carter's are going for around 100. See if there's any silver mojos up there of just, I know we know that there's a Luka up there, but is there any other guys that are up there, the number to 25 cards? See. Those are my favorite. Not just because of the name, but I like the design, and I actually have a Simmons Mojo Silver 9.5 that we bought at the National that I love. So Mojo Silvers are my stuff.
Why don't you marry
And then we've got a Maverick fan saying Doncic's prices may go up if he keeps playing the way he is. And he is killing it. I mean, he beat the Warriors the other night.
I go back to this, though. What if the Silvers were stamped?
It wouldn't be good.
850 out of 2,099.
We don't want to know how many they made.
But I'm...
I'm kind of going weird here, but it's kind of like when you're dating a girl. You don't want to know how many guys she's been with, do you?
Yeah, but at some point, you're going to have to find out. At some point.
Not on day one.
At some point, you're going to have to find out, right?
Well, you got to add a few here and there on that one, right? Michael Porter Mojo, people trying to get 1,400. Man. Kevin Knox, 14.
You're dating a chick and she's in the 5,000 range, man. I don't know what to say about that.
So Trey Young, that seems kind of low. Well, that's an auto though. So and that's the other interesting thing is that a number to 25 auto will probably sell for less than the number to 25 base card. That's only time it happens in cards is in basketball, is that the auto will sell for less than the actual card numbered the same without an auto on it.
I can guarantee you there's less Doncic autos in the set than silver prisms.
Yeah.
Guarantee you. Why don't they sell for more?
I don't know. Well, that is true. We didn't pull many Doncics this morning. We pulled everybody else, and not a lot of Michael Porters either. I think you just pulled one finally.
There's no way that certain players are short printed.
No, I don't think so. I just think that it's just a matter of where you got your cases from and what part of the palette it was on. You also have to assume nobody foreseen that refractors and would do in prices. So now that people know what they go for, more are getting graded. But I don't doubt they're producing more. Yeah, that's the tough thing is we don't actually know. And I don't think they'll ever tell us. Wow, that seems low on that Aiton, dude.
Yeah, really low.
370. An Aiton auto number to 25.
Somebody probably hit buy it now right away on that one.
Yeah, it was had it been out of first off the line. It was number to 25, sold for 375. I think that's a $1,000 card personally, but we'll see. Bagley Mojo Prisms. That's a sensational version, though. But we've got a few minutes before we actually get into the first random of the day of Prism. So I wanted to talk about props to JR giving us this idea to talk about, and it goes along perfect with what we're talking about with Prism, is when is a good time to grade a card? What cards do you grade? And why do you grade them? And I think these cards are perfect to grade because they're not numbered. So what you're going to do is you're going to set your collection apart from everybody else that has raw versions or got, so say you get a 9.5, or with BGS, you can get the black label. You're going to have a lower pop report. So even though there's, you know, 5,000 of these silver prisms made, maybe there's only 1,500 graded. So now you're in a smaller category of your investment, right? So, you know, you have a bump over any of the raw cards. I personally like the way cards are graded. I think it keeps them safe too. I've even heard stories, I wouldn't try it, but I've heard of stories that guys' basements have gotten flooded and the slabs are floating and the cards are safe. Like I said, I wouldn't try that, but it's kind of an extra level of protection.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
How many cards have you had graded?
Not as much as you would think. Probably 100 cards over the period of time.
Okay, I think you've had probably more than that.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of Ryan Burrs over there. You have like 100 Ryan Burrs.
Yeah, true, true.
All right, how many block labels have you gotten back?
Zero.
Okay, cool. Just selling the dream though, right?
Selling the dream.
Selling the dream?
Selling
okay.
the dream.
Just want to make sure, because they don't hand out block labels all the time. I've never had one come back a block label. I've seen them before, but, you know, I mean, I get that, and I get the whole, like, oh, if you send it in, you could get a black label, but let's don't bank on that. It's probably not going to happen.
Right.
But
they do go for a lot.
They do.
They do go for a lot.
And it's safe to say with Prism, it does, it grades pretty well. A 9.5 is, it's within the realm. It's probably going to happen. You see tons of 9.5 Prisms. So, right.
Yeah, 9.5 seems like it's easier to get. But I have noticed that the PSA 10, so in comparison, PSA doesn't do half grades. So PSA does 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, where the BGS will do 8, 8, 5, 9, 9, 5, 10, and then black label 10. So, and those, they do the subgrades. So BGS will have 4 different subgrades. So if you get all 10s on that, that's how you get a black label. Just a straight up 10 would be you probably got 3 out of the 4 10s, maybe even 2. I don't know how they do it. So there's a different element. There's a lot more you can do with BGS. I think sometimes a safer bet is PSA, but a lot of people tend to stay older cards, like 80s and older for PSA. So more vintage based cards get PSA graded. More modern Bowman, Prism go BGS. The problem right now, PSA is getting a lot more business because BGS is so backed up that I think the cheapest service is taking 6-7 months, or at least it was. I don't know if they've cleared it up. So a lot of people are going more PSA because it's a faster turnaround. I specifically like the way the BGS looks. What do you think?
I like the way the BGS looks. I think the slab looks a little nicer. It feels better in your hands as well. It's got a little more weight to it.
Yeah.
100% for thicker cards.
Yeah.
100
NTRPAs.
Yeah, 100 point cards, 130 point, 180. I can't stand the way the PSA slabs actually look a little better now.
Yeah.
The old ones were ridiculous. They were giant, huge slabs. They were like ridiculous. In order to get a black label, I think Doug just said this, BGS has subgrades, so like centering, surface, corners. What's the other one I'm missing?
Surface, corners, centering.
Centering. I said centering, corners. All right. Centering, corners, surface, and
edges.
Edges. All right. So you have those subgrades on it. In order to get a black label, you have to get a 10 on all the subgrades.
Right.
And if there's an auto on it, I'm assuming you have to get a 10 on the auto, right? I've never seen a black label with a 9 auto.
Yeah, I haven't seen many black labels. Period.
Yeah,
so,
I think
like we were saying,
they're rare.
And Chris says, is SGC good for vintage cards too? Yeah, like tobacco cards and pre-60s. Some people like that. I think PSA will still sell for more than SGC unless it's like tobacco cards, like I said, where you have the VG and the EX, and you have the 4.5s and the. Or actually, they do the 80. They do the 1 to 100, right?
I think they do 1 to 100.
Not a whole familiar with SGC, but
BCC. What's the other that they do? They do the 5.6
yeah.
EX near mid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like BCCG or something.
I think
like,
that's a form of it's
like Beckett though.
Yeah, it's Beckett. Well, there used to be in the explosion, you know, of Upper Deck in the 89 Upper Deck with the Griffey. There was like 100 grading companies, and a lot of them were corrupt. They were basically taking $5 and giving you a 10 every time.
There was Doug's Duels grading.
Yeah, Doug's Duels grading. I just gave out 10s. You know, you gave me the right amount of money, I was going to give you a 10.
Dan's grading company, I just went to 11.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm all, you know what? It's 1 through 10, but that card's so nice, I'm going to give it 11.
So I've always been curious with grading companies that if they and they say they don't, but my thing is the percentages that they can do. So like if a 86, 87 Jordan comes into to PSA and the pop report on a PSA 10 is like 20 or 30, whatever it is. I don't know the exact number, but let's just say there's 30 PSA 10 Jordan rookie cards out there. And they just graded one yesterday at a 10.
The chances
and then
of
another,
getting another one.
Yeah, do they say, hey, we just gave one yesterday a 10. We have to protect the chase of the grade, right? So that's what I've always been curious about that. Like, do they not just hand out too many 10s in a row, if it's worthy of getting a 10?
See, you start to question the integrity of the graders themselves. Like what if somebody is, you know, had a tough weekend?
Yeah.
Went out, had a couple sodas, was out really late, comes in Monday morning, has a, you know, a whole table full of cards are grading, not really feeling that great. We're all human. You're going to look at that and you're like, you're not going to be on top of your game that day. So as opposed to, you know, getting a nice dinner and, you know, getting 9 hours of sleep, waking up feeling great, maybe get hit in the gym.
Right. Or maybe you had a bar fight and you're blind. Come in, you're blind. You're just like, I'm giving everything a 7 today because I can't even see.
Or you go to the eye doctor and they do something funky to your eyes.
Yeah.
And your eyes are adjusting, but you go into work because you got to get paid.
You got to fake it till you make it.
And all your grades that day were 7s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I sent a bunch of Joe Panics. I may have got that. I got a grade back that was a 5.
Yeah, that was funny.
It wasn't that funny, though.
I was trolling you. But, no, it's almost like another element of chase because you get the chase, you get the cards you want, and then you have to chase the grades, too. So a lot of people like that hunt of pulling their own cards. If I'm buying a PC card, I like to buy it already graded. I'll pay the premium. But, you know, it's interesting. But I would say, you know, over the years, as far as grading 101s, you have more of a chance of hurting your value on the 101 because you got to think, the 101, you can't compare the superfractor to another suit. There's only one. So why would you need to grade it to put it ahead of anything else? So a lot of people will send in a superfractor and they'll get an 8.5. And that's like, oh, crap, that was just an eyesore, right? So, or, you know, I know you can put, you know, minimum grade, send it back if it doesn't grade that. You probably would want to do that in that case. But me personally, anything really, really low numbered, I don't like to grade it because really there's no comparison.
You got to think about that as well. If a 101 goes into Beckett, do they look at that and go, I can't really justify dinging this card unless it's something really obvious? Did they just let it go with a 9.5?
Right.
Because let's face it, I would say there is more 9.5 gem mint grades that come out of Beckett than any other grade.
Yeah.
You see more 9.5s than you do anything else,
yeah.
Right?
Well, now there's two levels above the 9.5 too, right? So
yeah,
it's
you have
kind
the
of the vanilla.
Yeah, so 9.5s, it's everybody gets a 9.5.
Yeah, especially on Chrome baseball cards.
So does that also factor in? And
yeah.
does the card itself factor in? The Ohtani Superfractor, when that went to go get graded.
Yeah, they don't have anything to compare it to.
If there's nothing obvious that the card's not basically doesn't have a crease in it, do you think they're going to send that back to the person saying, hey, just to let you know, it's a 7.5, man.
Right.
It's getting a 9.5, especially considering there was bounties on it and stuff like that. Beckett doesn't want to be the company that
yeah,
just...
Yeah, it'd probably have to have a hole in the card to not pass the grade.
Beckett doesn't want to be the people who are like, hey, everybody, we just pissed in your Wheaties. Like, nobody gets money now for that card.
We got a good point in the chat. He says, agreeing with all perspectives mentioned, I find it the perspective of the judge association, as in wine competitions... Some associations award all good wines regardless of the group and the percentages, whereas other companies say they only award 10% gold medals regardless of the quality or of the fielder category. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they got, like, 10 Bryce Harper chromes in one day, they can't give them all 10s, right? Even if they were all worthy of a 10, you'd be like, dude, how did we give 10 in one day? And because it's published, if somebody wanted to dig... So that's another thing for you guys to look at. If you're thinking about grading your cards, look at the population reports. PSA has a free population report. You don't even have to sign in. You can go on their website. Beckett, you just have to have a login. It doesn't cost anything to have a login, but you can log in, search your card, see how many have gotten 10, see how many have gotten 9, see how many have gotten black labels, And you can kind of see. So, you know, if there was some conspiracy theorists out there and said, why was there 10 tens in one day? You know, they also have to probably look at it like that. I don't know if they do. This is just all pure speculation because nobody knows anything. They can't kind of keep that under wraps. And we'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt that everything is transparent because, you know, we actually sent in 40 Sean Mannion autos from NT. And we got an 8 on every single auto. 9.5 on the card and 8 on the auto on every single one. And I looked at the population report and they were consistent. They gave everybody else an 8. So, and because the pen is smeared, so they kept it, it's,
but,
you know, and but they didn't even think it was subjective.
But
though.
that almost makes me think that they looked at that and they're like, okay, we've already graded 20 of these and all of them got 8s. We got to give them all 8s.
Right.
So it almost makes me seem like they didn't even look at the auto. They're just like, we have to keep it consistent and just do 8s on all of them.
Right.
Because you're telling me that every single one of the autos that we sent in, every single one was just as streaky as the others. I don't know, man. I think they just felt like they had to give 8s on all of them.
And then Stevens also says that the irony graded logs have 12 or 13 grades for 10 units total printed. Don't police that, does Beckett. So you're saying that maybe people sent them back in, probably cracked them and sent them back in, and they regraded them, I'm assuming. So that's a whole other thing. And there's a whole other, and we don't have time to get into that because we got to do Prism number one, random number one. But there is guys in this hobby that clean up cards. Now, I don't know what that means. I know a lot of guys will do the microfiber to the surface to get rid of any surface imperfections. And then there is just some absolute idiots that will actually trim the card, and they usually get caught. We actually had, believe it or not, funny story, we pulled a number to 5 NTRPA of Carl Anthony Towns out of NT. And our customer sold it on eBay for $6,000. It reappeared, and the guy trimmed it, but he didn't grade it. And then the guy bought it, and they sent it in to grade it, and they came back trimmed. And the guy basically trimmed the card because the edges was bad. So he laser cut it. So there was somebody that was out there that took a $6,000 card and tried to alter it. That's just mind-blowing to me that you would spend $6,000 on a card and cut it to try to get a little bit more money out of it. That is a huge risk. I mean, and it basically bit him in the butt. He sold it through, I think, Probstein. And I think Probstein was able to get some of his money back or something because now the card was basically altered and it's not worth jack.
I wonder what that card would go for now, non-altered.
Right, not as much as that probably. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is still a top player in the league, but I mean, it was a nasty patch too. So, well, got anything else to say, guys? Prism. And use code Silvers.
Yes, I do. Monday night, there was a pretty good football game on.
I didn't watch it.
Everybody, I think,
do they play defense in the NFL anymore?
Oh, dude, come on. There was 3 defensive touchdowns.
Like a college game.
It was everything you would want in a primetime football game.
I'm just wondering.
And if you're not a Chiefs or a Rams fan, you're jealous.
I don't know. I personally thought the Rams Raiders primetime game or the Niners Raiders game was a little bit better, but hey, you know, no, I'm just kidding. That was actually one of the best football games I've ever watched. I can't deny my hatred for the Rams wants me to say it sucked. But I was on the edge of my seat, and we were having fun here watching the game. It was insane.
You just hope that's going to be a Super Bowl preview.
Maybe. Just hope. And what, speaking of,
when's the next time the Saints play?
They play tomorrow.
That's a good team right there. That's a good football.
Are you
a
Saints fan now? You Saints fan?
I think I might be too.
You Saints fan?
I get it, man.
I'm sure I ain't a Chiefs fan.
Jeez.
I know. It's jealousy, man. We just wish our teams were that good. 94 Niners was about the closest thing. A long time ago, I was 12. But anyways, so thank you guys for tuning in. It was a little hype half hour short show today because we have so much Prism to bust for you guys. And check out the deals Black Friday. We're doing Black Friday pack breaks where you get packs. And we actually open up the packs before the break, so it's instant gratification. And Cyber Monday, I will make a comment about Cyber Monday packs. So we're going to be doing Cyber Monday packs with Rookies and Stars on Monday. And I've seen some emails floating around from Panini and makes me think that the Cyber Monday packs are loaded because they're not shipping them out until Monday. They have said that if they catch anybody selling Cyber Monday packs by themselves on eBay, they will ban them from buying from Panini. So,
well, dude, and
so I'm just thinking that these things may be like freaking loaded.
All right, do an eBay search, and it's weird because they didn't say anything about that about Black Friday, right?
No.
Do an eBay search about just Black Friday packs. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody got them. We got them early. Everybody got them early. Everybody's been selling them for like $5 a pop on eBay. It's crazy that they did bring that up about Cyber Monday packs. Good for Panini. Look at that. Look at that.
300 packs for $1,500. Crazy.
Shoot.
So everybody else that has to buy their guys' boxes, they're just, I guess he's just going to take the money off of it, I guess. But anyways. Yeah, and then we also have Topps holiday packs in gold, the gold label special break, and Bowman Tech, which I believe is sold out. So we're doing all kinds of stuff on Friday. It's going to be an insane day. Like I said early on in the show, don't go shopping. Stay at home. Buy your gift from Amazon and join in the breaks.
Man, I got to say, like, these college players need to get some longer shorts. What happened, man? Why did we go back to the 70s over here?
Kentucky and Winthrop on TV right now.
Why does everybody, just everybody has like the short shorts,
right?
Nobody likes the Daisy Duke look, man.
Let's all right, guys,
back to the long shorts.
Check out breaks, mojobreak.com. Use that code SILVERS for 18% off your teams in Prism today, guys. And that may expire without notice. So do it now. And we'll see you guys in a few minutes. We're going to do the Prism 6-box random number one, guys. Peace out. Thanks.